Welcome to Mindful School Marketing, your go-to podcast for personal and professional growth.
We're school marketers, business owners, and moms passionate about connecting other school professionals with tools and strategies for success.
We love solving problems, exploring new ideas, and thinking outside the box. Let's transform your school and life starting right now.
This episode is brought to you by Digistorm. Let Digistorm's funnel and apps work together to attract, engage, convert, and connect families through every stage of the enrollment journey and beyond. Welcome to Mindful School Marketing. I'm Tara Clays.
And I'm Aubrey Birch. Today, we're joined by Jamie Giblet. When he's not running around Digistorm's USA operation, Jamie tries his luck on the Colorado ski slopes with mixed success. Jamie has been loving living and traveling around the US and lives in Denver with his beautiful wife and two dogs, Cuda and Bert. Welcome, Jamie.
Hey, thank you for having me on and for such a lovely introduction. Although the mixed success on the ski slopes started to get more success now that I'm in my second season of skiing. But yes, I'd probably still put it down to mixed success. But thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on today.
Thank you so much for being here. We're really excited to chat with you and hear more about your background and your story. So why don't you start by telling us that, a little bit more about yourself?
Perfect. So for anybody listening or watching along, you might hear my accent. So I'm not originally from Denver, Colorado. I'm originally from Australia, the east coast of Australia, where my head office for Digistorm is located. So I moved over here the start of 2020. And as everyone knows, the start of 2020 was the start of the less fun times in modern history. So I've experienced this country in COVID times, and now as we're coming out the other end of it. So for everybody who's been having a bit of a struggle in the last 2 years, I completely feel you. And I'm really excited about, I guess, what the next few years have to offer here in the US. But absolutely love being in this country. I absolutely love touring around, as Aubrey already mentioned. And don't mind the Australian accent.
Thanks, Jamie.
I think we like it.
I think everyone can probably agree that we like it. So Jamie, I'd like to dive in. Like, I've had the opportunity to talk with you before and I love our discussions. So I'd really like to dive into a little bit about schools and digital marketing and everything like that. So really, schools right now are engaging in digital marketing events, gathering leads. But then what? Like, getting those leads to land on your website or social channels is an important first step on their journey with you, but how do you actually turn them into students? And that's really a big question. I'm curious to hear your strategies behind that, like what tools and tips you have for our listeners.
Great question. So you're absolutely right. That first piece of marketing and convincing parents who are in that consideration and awareness stage to actually come to your website and engage with your materials on your website, and then make a decision to enter their details so that you can look after them or come along to that event. So that in the past 2 years, that's been quite an undertaking. It's either been coming to a virtual event, which we've all been learning how to run those and how to run them effectively, or running COVID protocols at an in-person event and making sure everyone's 6 feet apart. So you're doing all that hard work. The important thing is, after doing all that hard work, that we don't just go, okay, we've got their details, I'm sure they're going to become an enrollment. So the piece that I'm really passionate about, and I guess here at Digistorm, we're passionate about, because this is what we do, is making sure that you've got a centralized database, or we like to talk about that as a school CRM or customer relationship manager. So having that as your central database for all of your inquiries, so that you can offer efficiencies between yourself and anyone else that might be on your admissions team or that's internal there at your school. So the first benefit, it means that you can have all that prospective family data in one system. So whether they came to an event, filled out an inquiry form, they wanted your view book, or maybe they did all three. They filled out an inquiry form, got your view book, then came along to an event. All that data is feeding into one place so that you, the person that might be answering phones at reception, or your head of school, can all access that same information. The reason that's important is then you can save time and make sure that you're spending time nurturing your prospective families in a value-added way. So what I mean by that is being able to understand who your parents are. So get personal with them. So who are they? Where do they live? what do they do for a job? What are the aspirations that they have for their family? And generate those almost like personas for your families. And what you want to then be able to do is nurture your families in an individual way. So things like their demographics, their location, their interests, core values, preferred method of communication is important. Some parents don't, especially millennial parents, don't love their phone ringing, don't love answering a number that they don't know. So email, SMS, potentially WhatsApp is becoming more of an important way to engage with families. So it's just really understanding your parents and then identifying pain points. So what is it that's been difficult for those families in the past for being able to identify a school that they want to engage with? What part of potentially your admissions process have your parents told you, like, I really loved coming to your event, but everything after that was clunky and difficult, and I had six different things I needed to fill out. I was repeating information, had to mail some stuff in. Some stuff was online. So really understanding the pain points of your parents and allowing them to do things in a way that makes sense to them when it comes to your admissions process. So once you understand who your parents are, how they want to be communicated with, pain points they've had in the past, that way you can then improve your admissions experience. So we want to be able to offer something that's simple, ideally online, and we want to make it so that, you know, parents can complete an admission for their student in a day part that makes sense to them. Maybe it's before work, maybe it's on their lunch break, maybe it's at 11 o'clock at night when they've finally got everyone to bed, they've cleaned up, the dishwasher's on, finally they can sit down. And if your office isn't open, ready to take that call, at least have everything online. And by the way, I don't expect your office to be open at 11 p.m., but we would expect your website to be open 24/7 and the ability to complete an enrollment process online. So once we've collected that inquiry to understand your families, nurture them correctly, eliminate pain points for them, and make it really easy and available to access your admissions tools, packs, and forms.
Yeah.
Key advice there.
That's great. That's a lot of information. I want to break it down a little bit, because all the information that you're talking about, knowing, like understanding who your parents are, you're not going to ask that in an inquiry form, right? You're not going to ask them, and parents will run away if the inquiry form has all those questions on it. Yeah. So, you know, what role, where the inquiry form falls in this process, sounds like you need to do, you're saying you need to do a lot of research before that into who your parents are. So how do you do that?
Sure thing. So the majority of schools, unless someone's listening today that's about to start a brand new school tomorrow, and if you are, then there's ways to research who your parents will be. But for most schools, you have a nice big body of parents that are already part of your school community. So it's finding out from previous years, okay, who are my parents? What is it that kind of triggers them to have that response to want to be engaged with us? What is it they love about our school? What is it that gave them that emotive connection to choose us rather than that school that's down the road? So it's learning from your existing families and understanding who they are, and also understanding who you are as a school. So how do you connect the dots between who your families are and what it is that your school offers, or what it is that's unique about your school? And then putting that into practice to make sure that that is how you're nurturing your families. Because you're absolutely right. If I've got an inquiry form that asks 50 demographic questions before it even asks for your child's details, I'm probably opting out of filling out that form. So really good clarifying point there, Tara. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you think that prospective parents have an expectation for this kind of personalization, this personalized approach?
Absolutely. So I think personalization is key. Maybe 10, 15 years ago, it wasn't as important. The personalization was about the school and about the institution and about the history, and pretty much schools held all the information, and parents would come along and say, hey, I'm interested in your school. But in the modern age, where on our phones we've got access to Amazon and 1,000 other really personalized experiences that are like, hey, I'm suggesting that you might want to, you know, purchase this because you purchased something else 2 or 3 weeks ago, expectations have risen, especially again amongst millennial parents. So I think the more personalized that you can be in your communications and in the way that you engage with your families, the more successful that you're going to be. So on that inquiry form, like I said, we're not going to ask 50 demographic questions, but we definitely want to know, okay, what's the child's age? Because that's going to let us know what particular programs that they might be able to participate in at their particular grade level. So what are the child's interests? What is it that has attracted the family to your school? So if it's the sports program, nurturing families with all the headline information about your academics probably isn't going to push the button as much as showing them the success that you're having in your athletics. So being able to collect that data early, being able to tailor your communication with families and gently, and I like to reiterate gently, no one wants to be bombarded with information, just like they don't want to be bombarded with a huge inquiry form, gently nudge people along to the next stage of your admissions process. So send them that quality information that is related to them because you know who they are as a persona and you've collected just enough information to be able to say, okay, this child's entering grade 7, loves basketball. So you know what? We're having a basketball clinic next week. I'm going to let them know that that's happening and that that's going to be part of their shadow day or their one-on-one tour is to actually come and check out the basketball clinic. So just getting smart with the information that you have.
That's awesome. I'm going to jump in one more question, then I'll let Aubrey talk because I had this other question pop in my head, which is because you are not from the US and now you've been here for a couple of years, obviously yeah, under some unique circumstances. Can you just talk for a little bit as a side note on how the US may be different from Australia or other countries that Digistorm works with? Is there something particular to the US or to other countries or a common thread among them?
So the common thread is, for me, it's selling, and I hate to use the word selling, but to be honest, that's what we're doing in schools is selling the unique elements of our school to a parent, but selling with emotion. So that's the common thread in Australia, in the US and other schools we've worked with internationally. It's connecting in an emotive sense with parents. So testimonials, allowing other parents to talk about their experience. A big one that I love is having your more senior students run open houses or to be part of the experience when families come along to the school. So it's that emotional connection. The things that are different here in the US, schools that aren't using continuous enrollment, which is a good amount, really have that re-enrollment season every year. So you're the, and something I wanted to talk about today is you're not stopping your admission cell the moment they sign that enrollment contract. It's not like, well, that's done. Don't have to worry about them for the lifetime of them being at the school anymore. That communication, reminding them why your school is the right fit is, it's important in Australia, but I found here in the US, it's particularly important because the parents need to go through that re-enrollment process. And it does trigger that thought of like, what else is out there? Am I happy with where I'm at? Am I happy with the current school? Have they delivered on what was promised and what I expected? So that's probably the biggest difference that I've learned over the last 2 years is that that communication and engagement with families needs to continue much more strongly here to make sure that they re-enroll in the US.
Yeah, that's so important. I see that all the time with schools and you hit the nail on the head. Like it's reaffirming every year that this is the place for you to be and that we're delivering and that continuing delivering of the value proposition and making sure parents realize it throughout the school year so that when re-enrollment does come around, they're remembering. So thank you. And you've shared some gems today about connection and how it's important and the personalization, the expectations for that. And I believe like the customer service type feel for schools has, I mean, really increased over the, I would definitely say over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. So thank you for bringing that forward. I'd love to chat with you a little bit about enrollment. How really do you measure success when it comes to enrollment? And what metrics do you use the most?
Yeah, interestingly, that can be quite personal per school. I mean, every school would like to have full capacity and have all enrollments filled. But how schools measure success can be vastly different. So what I encourage people to do that are in admissions teams is define their key performance indicators, so the KPIs. So we're getting quite business-minded here around how to define success. So we want something that's concise and well-defined, quantifiable, something you can reflect on and say, hey, did we achieve this or did we not? You want it to be easily communicated internally so that the board or the head of school or the head of admissions or whomever it might be can understand what it is that you're trying to achieve. And you want to link that to the school's main goal, which might be we want to increase enrollments by 10%, 25%. We want to have these types of families enrolled in our school. So it can differ, but when using tools like a CRM, they really open up your ability to measure that success. So you can measure right down to how well are you converting people from when they make an inquiry through to coming to a tour. And when they come on a tour, how well are we converting those people to start our admissions process or come along to that next step being an interview? So being able to measure that conversion rate between each stage of your admissions process, I think is hugely important. Also being able to measure, well, how many people are we expecting to receive into the school this year versus the capacity that we have? And don't worry, if you're sitting there going, geez, I'm not 100% sure how we're looking each year with capacity versus people who are in our pipeline, that's okay. There's tools out there to be able to help you with those decisions. So there are two that I really love looking at. Third one I like looking at is family satisfaction. So how did you enjoy the process of becoming a family at our school? I think if we're not asking those questions, we're not improving that process for families the following year. And then lastly, how many value-added activities did you engage in and did your team engage in? So when I say value-added, I don't mean updating a spreadsheet or copying and pasting something into a mail merge so you can send out an email. I mean more like, how did you go with your one-on-one tours? How many did we do? How many phone calls did we have? How many personal experiences did we deliver for families? How many open days? And if we can't track that, again, don't worry. There's tools out there to help you track those things. But ideally, I think a CRM of some descriptions opens you up to be able to have the time to perform not only the tasks that I mentioned are value added, but being able to track their effectiveness as well as your conversion between each stage of your admissions process. Family. So where are people getting bogged down in the admissions process and why? Can you change it? Can you help people along in your admissions process? So just always reviewing those metrics, things that I encourage schools to do and things that I've seen deliver a lot of success for other schools.
I really appreciate you sharing this because one of the points I see a lot of times when I'm working with schools is, you know, I ask them about their conversions at each step and there's kind of this pause and like, okay, how does that compare to last year? And another pause, these are important things to know because where are you seeing trends and patterns if you're not tracking the data? So it's so important, I think, at every step of the way. And the other thing you mentioned about parent satisfaction is key. Sometimes we forget we're all school leaders are quite overwhelmed right now. And so you're in the weeds, you're plugging away and you're doing your thing with admissions. And, you know, we forget to ask, hey, how did that go? How was the process for you? What could be improved? You know, where was like a pain point for you during the process? What worked well? What did you love? What made you say yes when the acceptance letter came or something like that? I think those are so helpful to schools because it can be just a tiny little tweak in the process that makes it so much more, you know, enjoyable for the person going through it and easy, right? Talk about taking away.
I couldn't agree more. And to your point, who has time for that if we're busy maintaining four or five different spreadsheets with 10 tabs on them each and trying to report to the board and trying to remember to call back families and check out the post-it note that I have here? Like, I get it. That stuff is like, that's way too hard to do if we don't have a systematic way to be able to process admissions and get this type of value-added information back from your admissions process. So yeah, and especially in the last 2 years with all the craziness. So again, if you're sitting there thinking, wow, I haven't even been able to think about that and I'm already stretched to the limit. Again, don't worry, there are tools out there that are designed to help you with that. So yeah, good point, Aubrey.
And yeah. Also the investment of those tools too. I think people often think about, oh, I don't have the time or the energy or the funds to invest in tools but when they see that it saves them time and energy and actually increases their revenue because you're potentially getting more students in through the pipeline, right? Then it makes perfect sense, right? So I really appreciate you bringing up these points. Tara, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, no. And I think, you know, I mean, you can look at it as even one student coming in because they didn't fall through the cracks, because you have a system that catches them and it helps you engage with them is worth it. For sure.
Could agree more. One student does fall through the cracks, one parent that instead of having like a pretty mediocre experience, having an amazing experience telling two or three people, and one of those people converting as well. So yeah. I love all this stuff. So thinking about improving processes, giving back time to admissions folks, and then turning families into, you know, raving fans of your school. All things that I'm really passionate about. So I love it. Love it.
Yeah. And it's a great segue to what I want to talk about next, which is mindfulness, because we talk about mindfulness. And I think when Aubrey and I talked about having this podcast, the concept of mindfulness tied into this, because both of us are really into self-improvement and processes in our personal lives and our work lives and as marketers. So they're all related in terms of sort of taking a step back, I think, and thinking about how to be mindful about what you're doing. And certainly with what independent schools have gone through in the past 2 years, as you said, you know, there's a lot on everybody's plate. And it's a big topic of conversation, not just in our industry, but, you know, in general, this idea of being mindful. So I wanted to ask you, like, to ask our guests what mindfulness means to you and how you see it fitting into this bigger picture for school marketing and admissions professionals.
Perfect. Well, firstly, mindfulness for me helped me get through the last 2 years. So from a personal standpoint, being able to slow down, be present, be in the moment and really reflect on everything that's happening in a very noisy, stressful, uncertain time helped me get through the last 2 years. So from that perspective, mindfulness to me is really important. But in the environment in which we work, I think firstly is it's taking the time to look at your admissions process without judgment, like slowing down and be honest about your admissions process. Have a look at it from your parents' perspective. Have a look at it from the perspective of your coworker, of your head of school, from your receptionist, whomever it might be, and obviously from your own experience as well. So be honest about your admissions process and take a good look at it. When you're looking at your admissions process, I think when you decide to employ some changes, don't expect that change to have an overnight result. So you want to employ that strategy and just be patient. Be patient and understand that, you know, the strategy was something that you came up with whilst you were taking a step back and being quite analytical about your admissions process. So be patient, but at the same time, just be open to new ideas. So try things that potentially haven't been done at your school before. The thing that mindfulness has taught me is don't think that I know it all and that I know the right way to do things. So I think we call it a beginner's mind. So I think employing that at your school as well is super important. And I've spoken to people in traditional organizations. They're like, hey, but this is the way we've always done it. And at the same time, the way we've always done it is creating a downtrend in our admissions. So if we're going to continue to do things the way we've always done them, we can probably expect the same result that we received last year or the year before. So probably my three biggest takeaways is just make sure that you're patient, make sure that you take the emotion out of looking at your own processes and what you're doing personally, and then make sure that you're always open to new ideas and trying new things in your admissions process.
Love that. That's so helpful. And I'm sure a lot of our audience is really resonating with that right now, because I mean, a lot of like marketing admissions and all that is, if you don't start looking at the whole process and then asking the questions, how can we improve? Or what if we tried this? And kind of like what I say, throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks.
Yes.
You're never going to be able to discover what really truly will work for your school. So thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate. Now I'm really excited to say that we're heading into some questions we ask all our guests. So I am going to kick us off with the first question. What are the most important things you do to grow personally and professionally?
Yeah, I like to walk the talk. So the things I've just mentioned previously, it's trying new things that are unknown and uncomfortable. It may be a bit cliched, but the magic really does happen outside of your comfort zone. I know it's something that we've probably all seen before, but it's something that once I employed that in my life, it led to a lot of changes. It led to me living in the United States, which is, hey, that was well and truly outside of my comfort zone. And being here and being here during a pandemic, I had to try a lot of things that were unknown and uncomfortable. And you can make mistakes. Like, not to get too cheesy, but anyone who's never made a mistake, they've just never tried anything new. Some of the listeners might pick that up as something that Einstein is attributed to have said, but that's literally something I really live by personally, and has helped me grow as a human being, and also professionally to be here looking after all these wonderful schools here in the United States. So yeah, super passionate about trying new things and getting outside that comfort zone.
Yeah, does that apply to the ski slopes as well?
Oh, well and truly. And if it was a different podcast, I'd show you what I did to myself on the weekend. I did try some new things, and hey, look, I made a mistake, and I ran into a tree, and I'm severely bruised all the time. But hey, it was, I learned from that mistake, and so yes, I walked the talk for sure.
It's awesome. It's also, I don't ski anymore.
I can totally get that. I don't want too many of those slams into trees, I have to be honest. Yes.
Yeah. Although if I lived in Colorado, I think I'd have to, because it seems like
the Rockies beckon there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. All right. I'm going to ask you the first of our rapid fire questions. Are you ready, yes. Jamie?
Absolutely. All right.
Here we go. If you could put one book as mandatory reading in the high school curriculum, what would it be? And I'm curious if it's something that you had in your Australian school upbringing that we might not know about.
Just outside of my Australian school upbringing, but I wish that it had been in my school. It was a book that my mum had. She's a huge fan of Bill Bryson. He's mm-hmm. written quite a few books, but A Short History of Nearly Everything just kind of blew my mind and completely changed my direction in life, because it really is a short history of nearly everything, from quite a systematic and analytical point of view, but written by an author who is so good at telling stories. So it's an absolute pleasure to read, and you learn so much about this world that we live in. And if I could make that mandatory reading for every high school student, I would love to do that. It is an amazing book.
Didn't he also write the one about the Walk in the Woods? That's really
Walk in the Woods, Mother Tongue, one about Australia, The Land Down Under. He's an amazing author. If you haven't read any of his books, for anyone out there, highly recommend reading anything that he's written, but especially A Short History of Nearly Everything.
Ooh, I'm excited. Now, I have small kids, so apparently I'm going to have them read a combined history of like all the books that we've talked about on this podcast thus far, because everyone comes with such good ideas. So thank you for sharing yours.
Kids are lucky, very lucky then. That's awesome.
So I'm curious, because I really don't know the answer or have any idea what you're going to say to this question. So what is one app you could not live without?
Oh my God. Look, it's probably going to be a very mainstream answer, so I'm going to give you top three. I'm just going to break the rules a little. Spotify, it's probably the same for a lot of your guests. I just Spotify. I use it every single day, multiple times a day, for podcasts, for music, for learning. Spotify is everything. If I lost that app tomorrow, I think I'd be very sad. Second one would be Podcast Addict, because I'm an Android user. That's probably my favorite podcasting app on the Android phone. If I'm not using Spotify, for those ones that are only on Spotify, Podcast Addict. And then the last one might be obvious because I live in the Rockies, but it's called Open Snow. It tells you how much snow is falling on each of your favorite ski slopes on any particular day, and a nice forecast for the next 10 days. So you can see, oh, that would be a good day to go out and go to Breckenridge or Vail or Beaver Creek or wherever it might be. So sorry, I went with the top three, but I didn't
want
to.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love breaking the rules, and I love this open snow. That has never been on our podcast before. So we've all learned something new, and now it makes me want to live someplace closer to.
Oh, it's amazing. So literally tell you all of the snow falling on all of my favorite resorts for the next 10 days.
Wow.
That is awesome. Know,
well, the problem is Saturday and Sunday are both flatline. Oh. So tomorrow is huge, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week are huge. So the good news is the fact that tomorrow and Friday is getting some snow, Saturday should be okay. So it'll be Saturday.
Nice. I'm going to go back to the book topic, and I'm going to plug that we have a Goodreads list. If you use Goodreads, we have where all of our guests, all the books that our guests have recommended or are reading are listed there. So it's a pretty good source for some awesome books. What are you reading right now?
Not to bring the tone down, but I'm reading The Last Walk by Jessica Pierce. It's a book about coming to terms with an aging dog and that last walk. So that's what I'm reading at the moment. It's amazing. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I would be sobbing through that book.
Probably. pretty much. And even talking about it makes me a little emotional. So,
oh my gosh.
But it's a great book. So if anyone has an aging dog out there, I highly recommend The Last Walk. It's really good.
How old are your dogs right now?
One's 9 and one's 15. And the 15-year-old, his average lifespan of his breed is 12. So he's killing the game. He's doing great. But I'm just getting myself prepared for the inevitable. So awesome book to read for that.
Thank you for sharing. All right, last question.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I certainly am.
Okay, what is one great piece of advice you'd like to leave us with?
It's gonna be another quote. So sorry for being slightly cheesy, but I find that strong characters throughout history can really reframe how you're feeling or shift a paradigm of where you're at in life, especially if you're having a bad week or a bad month or a bad 2 years with COVID. Ugh. And so this one's from the great Winston Churchill. So success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. And I think it's been really important the last 2 years for everybody and especially for me. So yes, that's my last piece of advice I'd like to leave everyone with.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. Really loved having you here today, Jamie. Where can people find you online?
All right. So you can find us, like Digistorm, at digistorm.com. So it's almost exactly how it sounds, D-I-G-I, and then storm, S-T-O-R-M.com. Or you can hang out with me on LinkedIn. So just search for Jamie Giblet or LinkedIn /IN/ Jamie Giblet, all one word. I'd love to connect with anyone who's listening to the podcast. So, Thanks for having me on. Been a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll put those links in the show notes. And we also would like to give a shout out and a thank you to Digistorm for sponsoring Mindful School Marketing this episode, in addition to others. Thank you. We're really enjoying partnering with you. Thanks.
Thanks for having us part of the team. We absolutely love it. So, yes, appreciate you.
Thank you again.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, school admissions pros. Are you sick of all those clunky, repetitive, tedious tasks? Digistorm Funnel lets you capture and nurture online leads, automate your processes, make detailed reports, and tons more. Funnel will free up hours of your busy day so you can focus on what you do best, building relationships with future families. If you're drowning in paperwork, Google Digistorm Funnel today. That's Digistorm Funnel.
Thanks for joining us on the Mindful School Marketing Podcast.
We'd love it if you pop into iTunes and leave a review, 5-star preferred. Let us know how you like the show. It helps us improve what we're doing and helps others find us too.